Amen. I got a great word for you today. Nothing's too hard for God, but there are three things God cannot do. And you're going to love hearing what God can't do today, because it is going to bless you. Numbers 23 is where we'll read to get to know that a little bit. Three things God can't do. I'm going to read verses 13 through 26. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you love God's word? Amen. I trust you do. Amen. Let's pick up here. This is an account. We're picking up in the middle of an account where I'm going to read. It's the account where a guy named Balak hires a guy named Balaam to come, and the names are very similar, but to come, and he wants him to pronounce a curse over God's people, not to bless them, but to curse them. And we're catching the middle account in that story today, but then I'll talk to you a little bit about what happens on either side of it. It says here, beginning this passage, "Then Balak said to him, 'Come with me to another place where you can see them. You will not see them all, but only the outskirts of their camp.'" Already once he had brought him there, so this is a second time that he's bringing him by. "And from there, curse them for me." So he took him to the field of Zophim on the top of Pisgah, and there he built seven altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stay here beside your offering while I meet with him over there." The Lord met with Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Go back to Balak and give him this word." So he went to him and found him standing beside his offering with the Moabite officials. Balak asked him, "What did the Lord say?" Then he spoke his message. Remember, he had been hired to speak a word of to curse them. This is his message. "Arise, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. No misfortune is seen in Jacob. No misery observed in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. The shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. There is no divination against Jacob, no evil omens against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, 'See what God has done.' The people rise like a lioness. They rouse themselves like a lion that does not rest till it devours its prey and drinks the blood of its victims." Then Balak said to Balaam, "Neither curse them at all nor bless them at all." Balaam answered, "Did I not tell you I must do whatever the Lord says?" Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word as we consider it collectively once again. I pray that you'd remind us to stay in it all throughout the week. But as we look at a passage together today, Lord God, would you equip us as your sons and your daughters to live for you through this message, I pray. I pray that you'd help us to be open to receiving from you, and we would apply your word in our lives. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your blessing upon me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. An angel of the Lord stood in the path. Balaam had gotten on his donkey after he had been contracted by Balak to come and curse the children of Israel. And he had gotten on his donkey, and this is before the passage that I read, and he had begun his journey riding on his donkey to get there, to get to where the children of God were, so that he could speak a word of cursing over them, not a word of blessing. He was going to, if you will, use divination or sorcery to cast some kind of spell on them. But as he went down the road on his donkey, an angel of the Lord stood in the road and drew out his sword, but Balaam did not see the angel. He saw nothing, but the donkey did. The donkey did. So the donkey turned and wandered off into a field, and this made Balaam enraged. He got mad. He took his staff and he struck the donkey. He brought him back over to the road. They continued on the journey. The angel went a little farther down. They got to this place in the road where there was a wall on each side of the road. And as they entered it, the angel stood in the road once again with his sword drawn out. And once again, Balaam did not see the angel and the sword, but the donkey did. And the donkey, now frightened over the sight of this angel and the sword, he tried to turn, but there was nowhere to go. And when he turned, he hit the wall, and he crushed Balaam's foot between the side of the donkey and the wall. Of course, Balaam, angry once again over what happened, he strikes his donkey. The angel is gone. They continue on their journey. They went a little farther down the road, and once again, there in the road stood an angel with his sword drawn out. Balaam doesn't see the angel, but the donkey does. This time, the donkey lays down. He just drops down and lays in the road and doesn't go anywhere. Balaam is enraged. He takes his staff out, and he begins to strike the donkey in anger. He is upset with him, and as he strikes the donkey, one of the most unique and bizarre things that ever occurs in the scriptures takes place. And if you think that I am going to say that a donkey talks, you are wrong. Because I have never been nearly as amazed by the fact that the donkey talks as I am by the fact that Balaam talks back. Balaam talks back. Let me show it to you. Let me show it to you here. It's in Numbers 22, the chapter before we read before. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Then Balaam said to the donkey. Now I have a dog. Where are the pet owners? Where are the pet owners? Anybody? Dog, cat, fish? Yeah, I have a dog. His name is Mr. Fox, and I talk to Mr. Fox on a regular basis. You talk to your dogs, you talk to your cats, you talk to them. I talk to my dog. When I leave my home and he's there alone, before I close the door, I say the same thing almost every time. I always look back and go, "You're in charge. Make sure everything's kept together as I walk out," and I always say that to him. When I come home, I open the door and he runs up, and I say things to him like, "What have you been doing all day?" I say, "Did you get your 10-hour nap in? What happened while I was gone," or whatever, and I talk to the dog. But I want to tell you right now, if it ever happens that I step in and I open the door and I say, "Hey, Mr. Fox, how are you doing?" He says, "I'm all right. How about yourself?" I'm not going to answer him back. I'm not going to talk back to him. I'm out of there. Like, I'm probably going to run out into my yard screaming and think I finally totally lost it, worse than Sarai thinks I already did or whatever else. But here we go. Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me, if there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." The donkey said to Balaam, we got a whole conversation. The donkey said to Balaam, let me get that to switch, there we go. I jumped ahead there on me. Maybe you guys can back me up. He says, I can find it in 22, verse number 8, if you guys can't back me up in the back. There we go. The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do this to you?" He's reasoning with him. And Balaam's like, "Nah, it's true. You've been pretty good. Yeah, you were a pretty good donkey up until now.
It's true.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. The situation is crazy altogether. The whole situation is bizarre." You would get the impression that he and his donkey carry on conversations regularly. It all takes place again on this ride, where Balak has hired him to go and to curse the children of Israel. And this is where this exchange takes place. Now, Balaam is an interesting character, and I'm being very generous of him, even when I use that word altogether about him. But he does exactly what the angel instructs him to do when he gets there in that passage that we read. An angel, before he had ever went there, before he had ever gone there when Balak brought him, an angel had told him, "Don't say anything unless God gives you to say it. Don't do anything unless God gives you to do it. Make sure you're obedient to the word that you're given." And he had agreed to that, and that is what he did through the whole account. There were three different occasions where he was brought out to curse God's children, and we read the middle one, but on each of them he always obeyed God. The word that he spoke then over them was a word that we read, and it was very much a word of blessing. It was a word that God spoke over the children of Abraham, and you and I have been adopted into the family of God as the children of Abraham. So I believe it is a word to us as well. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 tells us this: "And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." Somebody say, "It belongs to me." Come on. So the word that is spoken here of how God treats his people, of how God works with his people, it's a word to us as well. If I am an heir according to the promise as a child of Abraham, then I know that God says this to me as well. I know that the word God gave is a word to me as well. And it began when Balaam first spoke by saying there to Balak, arise and listen. Tell your neighbor to listen up. Arise and listen. And then he goes into this long exchange, not that long, but a little bit. But there are three things I want to highlight for you, because he points out there's three things that God can't do. And the first thing he says God can't do is God can't lie. God can't lie. Not God won't lie. Not God won't lie. God can't lie. God can't lie. God couldn't lie if he wanted to lie. He just can't. God can't do it. God isn't capable of lying. It's not who he is. There are some things that you can't do. Mercedes can't breathe underwater. Can you breathe underwater? We could have brought a tub of water and we could have tried it. She can't breathe underwater. It's not that she chooses not to breathe underwater. She can't breathe underwater. Debbie can't fly. Can you fly? Would you like to try? No? She can't fly. It's not that she won't fly. It is that she is not capable of flying. She can't fly. She can't do that. Hector can't lay eggs. It's not that he won't lay eggs. It's that he can't lay eggs. He is not capable of laying eggs. God can't lie. He can't. It isn't that just God chooses to be honest. He isn't capable of lying. The words of God are pure. The words of God always, always fulfill what they are sent forth to do. Whatever God says, it always accomplishes its intended purpose. God isn't capable of lying. When God says it, that's that. It's done. It always fulfills its purpose. Balaam declares in his word from God that God has blessed his children, and that what God has blessed, that it cannot be reversed. He says basically, Balak, it really doesn't make any difference what I say. It doesn't make any difference what I speak over them, because God has already spoken blessing over them, and I don't have the power or the authority to overrule God. That wasn't just true for Balaam. That's true for everything and everyone. No one, nothing, no situation, nothing has the strength, the power, the authority to reverse the will of God. If it is God's will, if God has spoken a word of blessing, then there's no person, there's no force, there is nothing, neither on earth, heaven, earth, hell, beneath it, below, anything else, nothing can change what God has said. And the word of God is, you are blessed. That's God's word. The word of God over God's children, over you as a child of God, is you are blessed. It is God's word spoken over his church, over his children. And as long as we abide in him, he will abide in us, and nothing can change it. Let me show you Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Is anybody in here forgiven? Come on, who in here has been forgiven by God? Anybody here forgiven? If you're here today and you've not been forgiven of your sins, you can be forgiven right now. You don't even have to wait for me to finish preaching. You can be forgiven right now. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Even right where you're seated right now, you can say, God, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come and live in my heart through faith. I want to live for you, God. Be the Lord of my life. You can be forgiven as well. Pray that. Pray it right now. Pray it afterwards, but pray it. You need Jesus. We all do. Amen? For those of us who are forgiven, and I hope that'll be all of us today, it says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. That's God's word. The Apostle Paul, amen. God wrote that to the church, or he wrote it through Paul to the church in Rome, in the context of emphasizing that it is no longer the physical seed of Abraham, the Jewish nation, if you will, no longer is the blessing of God limited to them, but that those who have been adopted into the family of God, that we fall under that place of blessing as well. The forgiven are now also a people blessed by God. So if you're forgiven, that means you're blessed. So somebody say, I am blessed. I am blessed. Praise God. The blessing from God cannot be reversed by an outside force. And God's not going to reverse it. In fact, the only thing I can do to keep from having the blessing of God upon me is if I choose to not abide in the vine. Jesus said He is the vine and we are the branches. So if I were to choose to remove myself, and I want to tell you right now, God won't be quick to let you go. God won't be quick to let you. He'll chase you down. We saw that when we were looking through Jonah, and you see it all throughout God's Word. He won't let you go quick. But if I just say, God, I want nothing to do with you, and I remove myself from Him, or if I just cease being generous, if I stop giving, because the Bible says that if I keep what's God's, that brings a curse upon me. But if I remain a generous individual who abides in Him, I can't help but be blessed. Are you with me? I can't help but be blessed. It positions me in a place of blessing in my life, in your life for always. No one can reverse it. 23:19 said this. I don't have it on a tile. Listen, it said this. God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? The questions are rhetorical. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. God couldn't lie if He wanted to because He's holy, He's perfect. If God says we're blessed, then we are blessed. Amen? Look at these couple of verses. Psalm 89:34. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said. God never takes His word back. Amen? Isaiah 55:1. It's a good one. It is the same with my word, God says. I send it out and it always, somebody say always. It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Praise God. It doesn't matter what comes my way. If God says I'm blessed, then I'm blessed. I am blessed when things are going well. I am blessed when I don't think things are going well. I am blessed if there's extra money in my bank account. I'm blessed if I don't think there's enough money in my bank account. I am blessed when things are going good at work. I am blessed when things are tough at work. I am blessed when things are going the way I'd like for them to go. I am blessed when things are not going the way I would like for them to go. I am blessed. God has declared it over me. No one can reverse it. He won't reverse it. We're blessed by God. Are you with me? God has a plan. God has a purpose. We rest in that. We trust in that. Praise God. And God's not confused over how to pour out in your life and bless you and move and fulfill His word in your life. Praise God. He can do it. Balak wanted Balaam to pronounce a curse over God's people. And again, Balaam's response was, He has blessed. I cannot reverse it. Let me give you a second thing today here that God can't do. God can't lie, but that's not the only thing God can't do. God can't see. I'll let that one hang there for a second. God can't see. God's blind as a bat. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? That's what He said. I'm just telling you what it says. It says right here that God can't see. God can't see. Now, I know that might sound alarming. You could say, but Pastor, I read in the Bible where when Hagar was sent away with her son and she left her son to die and she went and hid under a bush where no one could see her and God found her there. And she spoke of God when God found her there. She called God this. She said, You are the God who sees. I've read it. I know it's there. I know it's there, but God can't see. You say, well, Pastor, didn't the psalmist say that the eye of the Lord is upon us? Yeah, I've read that too, but God can't see. You say, Pastor, didn't Job say in 28:10 that his eye sees every precious thing? I've read it. I've read those verses. I've read those verses as well. I know it makes the whole matter perplexing. Maybe he just has really strong prescription glasses and he takes them off sometimes and then he can't see anything. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I can still see when I take my glasses off. I can still see. I'm not blinded when I take them off, but maybe that's what happens to them. I can take my glasses off. I can still see fine. I still know Sister D is sitting right here in the front of the room. Maybe God takes His glasses off sometimes and it's a strong prescription and everything is... I can't totally explain how it works. I just know what Balaam said when he got this word from God here and according to this, God must have trouble seeing. Because here's what he said. He says this. It was in verse 21. He said, He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has He seen wickedness in Israel. What? Has God ever read the Bible? Has God ever read Exodus? They sinned all the time. They blew it all the time. They worshiped idols. They fell into immorality. They wandered away and God would bring them back. They wandered away and God would bring them back. That's the history of the children of Israel. And Balaam says, God hasn't observed anything. God doesn't even see that along the way. And it's not just confusing with us, if you will. It doesn't just confuse me. It confuses the devil as well. Confuses the life out of the devil. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The brethren are those who are forgiven. I don't know if cistern is a word. Cistern? Brethren and cistern? No, I think that's different. Okay, so the brothers and the sisters, the devil is the accuser of them that he comes in. Now, so let me grab a seat here. Now, the throne of God is probably a little bit nicer than this. But if you can picture this, that God is in heaven, he is on his throne. And the earth is his footstool, he is there. And the devil comes in as the accuser of the brethren and comes up and points down and he says, did you see what she did? Don't you see what she did? And God's like, huh? I ain't seen nothing. And the devil's like, what are you talking about? You don't see it. Don't you see what she did? God's like, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. No, didn't you hear what he said? Don't you know what's going on? Look at that. Look at what he's doing. I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I don't see nothing. God doesn't see it. It's not that God, of course, is really blind. It's that God sees through eyes of grace. It's that God sees through a stained glass that is colored, if you will, by the blood of Jesus Christ. That God sees us as covered. That God sees us, once we're in Christ, as clean. So God looks down and no longer does he see us in sin, but he sees us paid for. He sees us bought with a price. He sees us as his children. He sees us made new. He sees us as a new creation, praise God. That's how God sees. Boy, that's good news right there. Amen? We who were once far off, we've been brought near. God cannot lie. You are blessed. You say, Pastor, he wouldn't bless me. Do you know what I've done? I blew it in this area of my life. I blew it in this area of my life. Listen, if it's under the blood, God can't see it. Once you're forgiven, once God has forgiven you and you're in that place of grace, God chooses to remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He chooses to cast them into a sea of forgetfulness. He chooses to cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Passover lamb, praise God. God doesn't see it any longer. He sees us as who we are in him, praise God. You say, Pastor, does it mean that God is not aware of sin or iniquity? Of course he is aware, so he paid for it. He paid for it. He purchased our pardon. He made a way for us to be made clean. He washes it all away, is what the Word teaches us. He sets us free, delivers us from bondage to sin, brings us out just like he brought the children of Israel out. He is just as mighty a deliverer today as he was then, praise God. It's how he chooses to see. Now, my older son, Nathaniel, he's a pretty large guy. He's between 6'2", 6'3". He's bigger than I am. But he's been pretty big since he was young. So when he was only about 15, he was already that big with his size 13 shoes, and he was had his big body, and he would come home, and if this was my house and this was furniture in my house that was set up in it, Nathaniel would come in, and Sarai can be my witness to this, if these things were here in the house, and Nathaniel had to get from here to there, Nathaniel would walk across the house like this. It was like, I used to say to him, I would say, Nathaniel, you move around as if you think you are a head floating in the air. You're like a head moving through the house with no body attached to you. It was like he wasn't conscious of this giant body he had now. He thought he was still a little kid. He would step on things. He would knock things off tables. He would just bang things over. I was like, come on, what are you doing? Why? Listen, God chooses, if you will, to look a certain way. God chooses to see what God chooses to see. And God chooses to see you as covered. God chooses to see you as cleansed, praise God. Amen? God can't see the sin any longer when we're in him. Let me give you a last thing today, and that is that God can't let you down. Not God won't let you down. God can't let you down. God can't let you down. Look at these two verses in number 23. It says this. There is no divination against Jacob, no evil omens against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. The people rise like a lioness. They rouse themselves like a lion that does not rest till it devours its prey. Praise God. God can't let you down. Man, I love knowing that it's not just that God won't, it's that he can't. See, Balaam is a sorcerer. He's a guy you pay to cast spells on people and stuff like that. And yet, it doesn't make any difference what he has. He still recognizes he has no power that is powerful enough to overrule God. He can't change God. He can't change what God has said or what God wants to do. And God still steps in and uses him on this occasion. He gets confronted by this sword-drawn angel. And although he's normally in the business of casting spells, if you will, like I said, for a fee, he recognizes here, I can't do anything any different. Maybe he was thinking, man, if that was what my ride here was like, what's my ride home going to be like if I don't do what God tells me to do? I don't know. But he won't deviate from it along the way. This guy who dabbles in things that the children of God shouldn't be dabbling in, he still speaks these words from God. Again, not that God won't let them down, he can't. It's because God is perfect. God is holy. And once God has spoken, he cannot go back on his word. If he did, he wouldn't be holy. He wouldn't be perfect. God can't let you down. That's why no weapon formed against you is ever going to prosper, because God can't let you down. It won't work. That's why no fiery dart of the enemy is ever going to harm you, and your shield of faith is always going to quench it, because God can't let you down. He has said that that's how it will work. That is why no curse placed upon you is ever going to stick. It's never going to work, because God never leaves us and he never forsakes us. He can't. It's who he is along the way. I've over the years had a couple of times where I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I think somebody has put a curse on me. I think somebody has cast a spell on me. Pastor, will you pray for the curse to be broken? You know what I say? No. I say no. You know why? Because it didn't stick. It doesn't work. You're a child of God. No weapon formed against you prospers. Nothing works against you. You are in him. You are free in him. You've been set free. You've been delivered. It doesn't work. God can't let you down. God can't fail you. If you're a child of him, praise God, you rest in that. That's the word from God. Amen? This is what is true from God's word. What is true from God's word is no divination, no evil omen against you. It will now be said, see what God has done. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See what God has done. We're not a people who get devoured. We're a people who do the devouring. We're not a people who get defeated. We're a people who walk in victory. My sister, when opposition comes, you rise up like a lioness is what it says. My brother, when opposition comes, you rise up like a lion is what it declares. No. That's who we are in him. Now, our enemy today is not Moab. And it really wasn't even Moab back then. That's who was coming out and trying to curse the people of God. The battle is spiritual. But our victory is sure. God cannot let us down. And even if it looks like the enemy gets the upper hand along the way, God won't let you down. God will always come through. Amen? Rise up. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your faith. Know that. Know who you are in him, praise God. Sometimes it's hard to rise up and be bold. Do it anyway. Sometimes it's hard to keep going forward when things don't look good. Do it anyway. Sometimes it's hard to keep believing. Keep believing anyway. Keep trusting. Keep walking in him. Victory is yours, praise God. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let me pull this together. Church, God can't lie. You're blessed. God can't lie. You're blessed. God can't see. You're covered. You're covered. You're covered. God can't let you down. It will be said of you, look at what God has done. So when I'm in the trial, come on. When I'm in the trial, when I'm going through it, and I'm thinking, man, what's going to happen? What's going to be said of me? I know I'm blessed. I know I'm covered and I'm forgiven. So I'm going to know. You know what's going to happen? When this is all done, people are going to look at me and they're going to say, look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. That's going to be declared over you as well. Amen? Come on, would you stand with me? Stand up with me, praise God. These promises are as real today as they were then. Just as real today. Just as real when donkey talking guy spoke them. So long ago. So I want you to repeat these with me. Before we close out, before we pray today, I want to hear us say them. I want to hear you declare it. Let's declare, I am blessed. Come on, church. I am blessed. That's God's word. Amen? Declare this. I am forgiven. Come on, let me hear you say it again. I am forgiven. And this as well. Come on, it will be said of me, look at what God has done. I'm here. Look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. If we're in Him, we're blessed by Him, we're forgiven by Him, and it will be said of us, look at what God has done. It's all God can do. It's all God can do. Hallelujah. Praise God. The good news is we have a God who's perfect.
Amen.
You say, well, Pastor, does that mean God kind of has to? This is how God, it's because God is perfect that these things are true. It's because God is holy that these things are true. It's because God's word always accomplishes what He sends it forth to do that these things are true. Praise God. It's who we are in Him. It's who we are in Him. I want to pray, but I would love for us. You guys got a song we can sing first? Come on, CeCe. Give us something while you're here. Let's sing a song, and then we're going to pray this over ourselves together, and then we're going to let you get out of here before it snows too bad. Amen.